New Year's resolution is to be healthier. It all starts with a good night's rest. MyPillow's best offer ever has been extended. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special, you'll get the lowest price ever MyPillow has offered for their four-pack, free shipping, and their 60-day money-back guarantee has been extended through March 1st. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the end of the year special, use my promo code USA to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
A bipartisan group of members of Congress is pushing the Trump administration to provide a legal pathway for food products infused with the marijuana compound cannabidiol, or CBD. Michael Welch is the president and CEO of Rocky Mountain High Brands. He explains what CBD is.
So CBD is cannabidiol oil, and it is extracted from the hemp plant, and hemp is part of the cannabis family. So hemp's wilder cousin is marijuana. Marijuana has a higher concentration of THC, and hemp has little to no, usually an immeasurable amount. The legal limit is 0.3% or less THC content. So usually CBD products have less than the legal limit of THC in them, so they're safe for consumption even by a child. And that's why one of the reasons they're so popular these days is because of the safety of consumption of them. And they do have several beneficial health benefits. They help relieve anxiety. They help relieve stress.
Businesses that are selling CBD are asking the FDA to start regulating the industry a little bit more. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Those of us who are in the news business face a particular dilemma with regard to sleep. There's always something in the news cycle, it seems, to keep us nervous, keep us awake, keep us anxious. Somebody is tweeting, somebody is firing missiles, and it's a very tenuous position to be in. And so we have brought on to help those of us in the news community and the populace at large, Dr. W. Chris Winter. He is the author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Dr. Winter, Chris, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Derek, I appreciate it. And those missiles and all the news that you cover just keep people running to my sleep clinic like there's no tomorrow. they are having trouble sleeping because of what's going on in the news. So it is a quid pro quo situation, to be sure.
Indeed. And it doesn't even take missiles or tweets or what have you to keep people awake.
It doesn't.
just the electronic distractions are more than enough. What kinds of routines do we need to get ourselves into? There are the obvious electronic distractions. It seems to me that the smartphone is perhaps the biggest one, but maybe just the tip of the iceberg. What do we need to excise from our daily routines in order to assure more solid sleep?
Yeah, I think electronics are a big problem. I would say electronics and Netflix, the ability to watch an entire season of Breaking Bad in one sitting is really a difficult thing. We did not have that when I was growing up. You know, I think that people need to understand that, you know, sleep is something that needs to be sort of sacred in your life. And what I always tell people is, look, you can control what you can control. I work with a lot of professional sports teams. Nobody ever tells a batter when they're getting up, hey, listen, you got to hit a home run. Like, we need you to hit a home run. Like, you basically practice and control the things you can control. You spend your time in the cage. You look at films about the pitchers you're going to face. You do all the things that you do in terms of your rhythm and your schedule. And then you get in the batter's box and you see what happens. And that's the way I think that people need to think about sleep, and that you need to educate yourself about sleep. That's the reason why I wrote The Sleep Solution. I felt like there was a lot of conflicting information out there, and it was also being delivered in a way that wasn't really easily digestible to people like me. So you understand your sleep, and now you control what you can control. You control it by setting aside the time to sleep. Look, I know Game of Thrones is a very compelling television show, and it's really hard to see how that episode ended and not move on and just watch the first 10 minutes of the next episode to see what happens. I get it. I've been there in a bad way. However, we really need to understand that when it's time to sleep, we really need to do that. And it's funny, I've talked to parents before, and you know, if your kid was getting picked up after school because he had a little, you know, meeting or something, you would never be late. Like, it would be a big deal for you to be late picking him or her up. But people are late to going to bed all the time. It's almost like, well, yeah, I should be going to bed now, but I've got this really interesting email. I'm trying to figure out which Hogwarts character I'm most likely like with this Facebook quiz, and that's really important to me right now. And we really need to move away from that and really set that time aside.
It's particularly difficult when you have a culture these days that really seems to put a premium on lack of sleep. People boast to one another about how little sleep they get, how productive that supposedly makes them, and while it is socially acceptable and desirable in some circles to tout your lack of sleep, it has very serious and deleterious consequences, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, it's one of those things that, unlike a heart attack that you feel right away, this is the kind of thing that just evolves over time. I always describe sleep problems like rust on your car. You walk out, see a couple of specks of rust on your car. I don't think anybody really has a panic attack. Oh, my God, there's rust in my car. I need to do something immediately. But it is one of those things that you need to deal with at some point, because if you're not, the rust will eat your car up. And that's kind of how sleep is. So can you go a night? Can you pull an all-nighter and do okay the next day and in your life? Sure you can, but if your life is consisting of a lot of all-nighters, one of the things I tell older patients, including people in the medical field and things of that nature, is, look, just because you can stay up all night does not mean you should. I was not a great medical student. You know, smart enough, but I'm not brilliant thinker. But when you look at my evaluations, they all sort of said things like, wow, he was just always around. He seemed to handle it just fine. And that's what got me through medical school, is that the schedule wasn't that big a deal to me. And if you look at some individuals, they've got genetics that allow them to deal well with poor quality or lack of sleep. So if you're one of those people, just because you can go 3 hours and be the best person on the court or in your meeting or on the radio the next day, doesn't mean you're doing your body a favor from a cardiovascular perspective, from a cognitive perspective. We know dementia, there's cancer involved in these kinds of things. So if you want to do something good for your health, skip your workout in the morning, get the extra sleep if you stayed up too late the night before.
We're speaking with Dr. Chris Winter. He is the author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. It's interesting that you mention that because I have thought of that very same choice. Should I get up early and do the exercise routine? Should I get the sleep? And sometimes I've gone one way and sometimes I've gone the other. More recently, I've said, let's set the clock a little bit later. But sometimes I haven't had second thoughts during the day. What's the difference? I mean, exercise is certainly important too. And if you just have no other time in your schedule, what are you missing one way or the other? I mean, you want to try for both, but what happens when we put ourselves into a situation when we have a choice between one and another?
I guess, you know, the question really is, when you're exercising, why? You know, what is your point of exercising? Okay, well, my point of exercising is I'm going to try to run because everybody in my family dies of a heart attack, so I really want to reduce my cardiovascular risk factors, keep my weight down, keep my blood pressure down, and reduce my risk of having a heart attack or a stroke. Or maybe you're an elite athlete, and you're saying, look, I'm a 45-year-old man who's kind of bored with my day trading job, and I'm really into triathlons right now. I've never felt more alive than when I'm out there transitioning from the lake swim to the bike on my $2,000, you know, triathlon bike. Like, it's just my love now. So, you know, for whatever reason people have, there's a reason why they're exercising. It makes them feel good, et cetera. When you start looking at an individual who's exercising, even, you know, very intently and diligently, but they're not getting the amount of sleep they need, all the things that you're doing with your exercise are being completely undermined. You want to try to be better in your triathlons? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not getting enough sleep, you're not getting growth hormone, which is the performance-enhancing drug that our brains make. You know, when we're little, it makes us grow as per the name. But as we get older, there's a reason why, you know, some professional athletes get syringes full of it, stick it in their rear ends, and flush the syringe down the toilet. It really enhances performance. And so if we're not sleeping, we're not getting our own body's growth hormone to make us sleep better. Cardiovascular effects of not sleeping are tremendous. Huge risk of heart attack and stroke, huge risk of weight gain, huge risk of high blood pressure when we don't get enough sleep. So, you know, if you're trying to exercise to do these things and then not sleeping on the other end of it, it's like a bodybuilder who lifts weights but doesn't ingest any protein. You're not going to get bigger because you're not giving yourself the building blocks by which to get bigger. So you got to have both. I'm not here saying exercise is not important, but sleep is the foundation of our health. And so we have to get that squared away before our exercise is really going to have the impact we want it to have.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
From executive producers Tim Tebow and Robbie Tebow comes Run the Race.
This came for you in the mail today. Congrats. You're on somebody's radar, son.
Two brothers share an unbreakable bond.
I don't want to end up like Dad. I'm going to get that scholarship. I'm going to get us out of here.
But life's unexpected adversities put their future in question.
It's all part of his plan, right?
You're not the first person to wrestle with his faith.
Trust him. He's going to meet you wherever you're at.
Really? It's that simple?
When you lose your way...
I know life can be confusing. It's full of ups and downs.
Why is this so hard?
How do you find the strength to hold on to hope?
I believe in the plan, and I believe in you. You're going to come with me wherever I go.
God does love you. He loves you like crazy.
Run the Race. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. For tickets and showtimes, go to runtheracemovie.com.
If you're within 15 years of retirement, this message is for you. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. By performing an asset reset, we reposition portfolios to start generating sustained retirement income. And you don't already have to be rich to utilize our time-proven strategies. Only about $150,000 in assets is a great place to start. Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income.
Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234.
Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Dr. Chris Winter. He is the author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken, and How to Fix It. You mentioned earlier that there are certain types of individuals with certain genetics. I know that in my readings, Winston Churchill, for example, comes to mind, that folks that could get away with very little sleep. How that's often touted. How many people is that actually as a percentage of the population?
It's a pretty small percentage. So there's a couple things. You're bringing up the individuals who can do it. I think that's a much higher percentage, meaning that, you know, if you had come to me at some point during my residency training when I was spending every other night on call in the hospital, you know, I was probably kind of a jerk. I probably would have, you know, made a lot of comments that, you know, my brain's ability to filter what I was saying was probably not great. I remember one time my wife telling me, look, if you're going to act like this, you just go back to the hospital because you're irritating your entire family. So, you know, being able to do it is one thing. Now, anytime I had the opportunity to sleep, including at one point when I was trying to buy a car, I fell asleep where the salesperson said literally in mid-sentence, I just nodded off. So he and I were just sitting there looking at each other. Yeah, I was sound asleep, and he had to wake me up. I fell asleep during the birth of one of my children. You know, so sleep always wins. So it's just a matter of, look, can you do it? Yeah. Are you functioning optimally? So that would be the interesting question for somebody like Winston Churchill. Hey, you're getting by with 3 hours of sleep. Do you feel good? Do you wish you could sleep more? And most, more often than not, they would say, oh, gosh, you know, I keep a cot under my office, you know, desk or whatever, and I try to sleep whenever I can. So functioning optimally and surviving and able to do what you're doing are really two different things. Tom Roth was this researcher in Detroit who looked for people who could function optimally on, you know, less than 6 hours of sleep. And the guy had a hard time finding anybody who was, he thought, was doing optimally on 5.5 hours of sleep, but he found a few. So they exist, but we're talking, you know, percentage, you know, fractional percentage points of the population.
Right. Now, one of the things that I have heard also is that it's well and good to catch up sleep on the weekends, but that really doesn't do the trick. Consistency is really important. Is that the case?
That's correct. I mean, when you talk about what we're calling is, you know, really is a sleep debt, meaning you've somehow lost sleep, either because you had trouble falling asleep or your flight was delayed. It wasn't your fault. You would have slept just fine, but you didn't get home until 4 o'clock in the morning because of the airline. So when there is a sleep debt, there's a lot of debate within the sleep community. Can you actually make that up? And as I've looked over research, my consensus is you can, but it needs to happen very quickly after the debt is incurred, meaning you don't want this debt to gain interest, in other words. So when you have a difficult night Sunday night or something happens, your kid's sick, he keeps you up all night, or you're upset because your NBA playoff team lost a game, then you need to make that up the next night, you know, or maybe the day after. The sleep that I lost when I was in residency is lost and gone forever.
Yeah, so there's nothing we can do to get that back. But
nothing you can do. No, you just need to move forward with that. Exactly.
But there's hope for the future. So
I guess, absolutely. I was, you know, my analogy is like smoking, like the guy who smoked for 10 years.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of research that says if they stop, you know, at some point in the future, if you looked at their lungs, you'd have a hard time figuring out if they smoked or not. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I don't want to, you know, it sounds truthy. I like it for the point of this argument, but it's still important for people to, you know, stopping smoking definitely reduces your risk of cancer, so you should do it. It's kind of like this. Like if you've abused yourself, you've been a shift worker, you stay up all night watching TV or whatever, you can start tonight doing the right thing, and I think your body will reap the benefits of it over the next few years.
What can we do as a society to resurrect the image, to put something forward that's positive about the person who sleeps in, who consistently gets enough sleep? They seem in this day and age to be castigated as an unproductive, lazy person. How do we change that? How do we get those to be the heroes and the role models in our society?
It's interesting you say that, because the whole reason one of the biggest reasons I started working with professional athletes was not because I was that big of a fan of professional athletes. In fact, at that point in time, after residency, I'd kind of lost track of sports. I just didn't have time for it in my life and didn't feel it the same way I felt about when I was little. But, you know, one of the things I was hopeful for is if we could get athletes to pay attention to their sleep, tweet out about it. Kenley Jansen, the Dodgers pitcher, just tweeted out some stuff about how he didn't like the way spring training was organized because it didn't interfere with his sleep. You know, when people talk about how important sleep is to them, my hope would be that, hey, I could sit there and write books and talk to you about sleep forever. Nobody's really going to care that much about it. I mean, who's Chris Winter? But if you know, Kevin Durant or Michael Jordan or LeBron James or some of these people start talking about how important sleep is, my God, my kids will listen to them. And I could tell my kids until I'm blue in the face, hey, kids, you need to go to sleep. It's important for your, oh, Dad, be quiet. You know, we're young. We can do anything. But if all of a sudden, you know, they do it, it's like socks. Like if I'd gotten socks when I was for a kid when I was in Christmas time, I would have left my family. Like, who's buying me socks? But now socks are really cool. Like, you want to make a kid really happy, buy him some Michael Jordan or Kevin Durant socks. They think it's the best thing in the world. Like, so if they can make socks cool, then my guess is they can make sleep cool too. So I think the tide will change when not only do these athletes talk about it, but you start seeing teams. Like, I work with the Indians. They went to the World Series last year, had a huge win streak last year. I work with the Dodgers. They went to the World Series last year. I work with the Thunder. You know, so as these teams start having success, I think they're going to start understanding that if they pay attention to nutrition and sleep and things of that nature, they're going to get an advantage over teams that don't, and it's going to become a sexy thing, you know, until everybody's doing it. They'll be, then it'll be like Gatorade. Eh, everybody hydrates. Not that big a deal.
Well, I got to say, Chris, that you are making sleep cool one sleepy news person at a time, and we in the profession.
My God, I wish I could record that so I could play that for my kids. your dad is cool. It's official now. Your dad's cool.
Awesome. Well, anything we can do.
Nobody describes neurologists as being cool. That never happens.
Well, you know, you're getting there. You're gonna change that for a lot of people. And for the profession. We've been speaking with Dr. Chris Winter. He is the author of The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate your time. Thank
All
you so
best.
Much. Sleep well.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Will Flitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
An attorney for Jared Kushner says he obtained security clearance through the normal process with no pressure from anyone. The spokesman says the new reports do not change what was affirmed at the time. According to the New York Times, President Trump directly ordered his son-in-law be given top security clearance over the objections of intelligence officials. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says even if President Trump did order the security clearance, it's not a crime, but
this is part of the problem with having family in official positions, because it's hard to be objective. Hard to be objective with the people you're having Thanksgiving dinner with.
Vice President Mike Pence says there's a legitimate crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. At the annual Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland, Pence said the crisis worsens every day without a massive border wall.
That's why President Trump used his authority under the law to declare a national emergency on our southern border.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take?
fish oil, or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rocklin. Matt Taibbi is a reporter for Rolling Stone. He's the author of four New York Times bestsellers, The Great Derangement, Griftopia, The Divide, and Insane Clown President, the current occupant of the Oval Office, as well as the recent I Can't Breathe and The Business Secrets of Drug Dealing. His most recent book is Hate Incorporated. It's digitally serialized. You can check it out at Taibbi, that's taibbi.substack.com. Matt, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here. Real pleasure.
No, thanks for having me on.
So I got to say, you're one of the few authors that has consistently made me laugh out loud over the years reading your work. I'm glad. It's been a real pleasure reading a lot of your work. I remember, I think it was in The Nation back in 2004 when you were covering the Howard Dean campaign, your descriptions of his just like preparing himself to be interviewed or photographed on the tarmac at somewhere in Iowa or New Hampshire or wherever it was, just made me laugh and have to repeat your wording to the nearest person next to me. Who are your influences in writing? Because that it's a pretty rare thing for me these days, especially when you're talking about contemporary political writing. Who do you draw on for your style? Who influenced you as you were developing as a writer?
It's very strange. I grew up very nerdly when I was in my teens. I was very socially awkward, and my escape was comic novels. And so I ended up reading a lot of books, particularly in translation. So my real heroes were mostly all Russians. They were people like Nikolai Gogol.
Wow.
And Bulgakov. So when I got older, of course, I read Hunter Thompson and H.L. Mencken. Mm-hmm. I think those are people that I definitely do try to rip off every now and then. Mm-hmm. But most of the people that I grew up reading were you know, people like Evelyn Waugh, people who are writing funny novels.
That's awesome. Okay. Very, very interesting. Maybe it's just my personal preferences and who I really was into when I was young, but I would have sworn that Tom Wolfe would have been in there somewhere.
I did read Tom Wolfe for sure. Uh-huh. In fact, there was a book of his that's kind of obscure that I really loved called From Bauhaus to Our House.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah.
That was about architecture. Uh-huh. I also used to see him pretty regularly because my father lived in the West Village and used to hang out at a bar called the Lion's Head. Uh-huh. And on my way to see him, I would see Tom Wolfe at that bar. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to him very often, but definitely read his books for sure. Write stuff too.
That's awesome. I was lucky enough before he passed away to have gone to a book signing of his in the San Francisco Bay Area. and advised him as he signed my book not to get Brian De Palma, he'll have his hands on the next book that he wrote. I think it was for Man in Full that I was getting signed. But no, that's fantastic, and it's great to hear your breadth of influences. And you know, one of them that you mention in the book, and this is about sort of the confluence, the collusion, if you will, between the media and the government, and you detail it with amazing prose and amazing perception, is a volume that I've certainly heard of, you know, since my time in college, but never got around to reading. And I mean to correct that error. Is Manufacturing Consent. How did that influence you when you read it when you were 19 years old? And how do you think it speaks about the media and political age in which we live?
So I grew up in a family of reporters. I'd been around the press my whole life. I thought out. My father was a television reporter. Basically, everybody I knew from the time I was 4 years old was in the media, and I thought I was a real expert in the press by the time I was probably 12 or 13. And then I read this book when I was in college, Manufacturing Consent, which is by Noam Chomsky and another academic from Wharton called Edward Herman.
Right.
And I'll be upfront. It's a tough book to read. It's not a readable volume.
Mm-hmm.
But it's essentially about how the American media avoids certain topics and has a kind of informal propaganda system mm-hmm. that even people who are in the business are not aware of. And it rang very true to me at that age, and it was a big influence on my career when I went into journalism. Because the book is essentially about how we're trained to look at the world through the viewpoint of the American foreign policy lens, where mm-hmm. we do not pay attention to the atrocities of American client states. We do pay attention to
right.
Things that our enemies do and that sort of thing. So I spent a lot of time on that book and about how media deceptions work.
Yeah, and certainly grab any headline sufficiently if you're talking about ignoring those that are allies oppress. If you look at the Khashoggi case, it continues. There's point after point, headline after headline, which you can apply those same things to. And the book came out in 1988, and obviously a pre-internet age. How do you think, you know, what they laid out in that book had changed and evolved, and you described some of the adaptations that they've made and how the landscape has transformed somewhat in your book, Hate Incorporated. How has it shifted, and how does it apply to the age in which we live?
Yeah, so, you know, prior to the mid-80s or prior to, there were two big innovations that kind of hit the media business in the late 80s. One was the 24-hour cable news cycle, which sort of created a new problem for people in the news business, which is we suddenly had oceans and oceans of time we had to fill.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the internet. And so in the old days, the commercial strategy of the three dominant networks and the few newspaper changes, it was all the same. They were looking for the widest possible audience, so they were looking for a broadly inoffensive tone. That still persists today. Like if you pick up the, the USA Today, for instance, you're going to find a very dull, flat third-person voice,
right.
But that's intentional. That's designed to be inoffensive to as many people as possible. And you'd often have an anchor who would begin a broadcast by saying something like good morning, everybody, or
right.
good evening, everybody. With the new landscape, that changed. The new strategy was let's pin down one demographic and corral it for good, and keep those people coming back and forget everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that really began with outlets like Fox. I mean, it doesn't matter what you think about their politics. The commercial strategy was really about we're going to target this one particular group of people, and we're going to give them news that appeals to them. Right. And that was replicated by other news networks later on, and we now see that across the spectrum with MSNBC and others.
Yep.
And that's been a major change in the business.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Beowulf Rockland. We're back to our interview with Matt Taibbi. He's the author of Hate Incorporated. Tell me why you decided to sort of serialize this digitally, take that approach, instead of come out with a traditional book. Is that just a reflection of how people read these days?
I thought I'd give it a try. I was approached by somebody last year to try this out by this new company, Substack.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to come out as a book when I'm done. There's going to be a hard copy, but when I was growing up, I had writer heroes of mine who had serialized books, people like Raymond Chandler, and
right.
I thought it would be a cool thing to try to see if you could do it on a clock. It turns out it's pretty hard, but it's been fun, and I think it's been interesting because it forces you to stay in a schedule that you otherwise wouldn't, which has been interesting for sure.
Yeah, I mean it's a long tradition if you think about it. I mean Dickens was doing it in the mid 19th century, and
Vanity Fair.
There you go.
Yep.
It's a reversion in a way to an older format, and it kind of works. I'll definitely look forward to the book coming out as well. You called it Hate Incorporated, and you know as we mentioned, it sort of talks about the confluence between media and politics. Why Haight Incorporated particularly? In what sense does this vast machinery of media and government produce Haight? I mean, how what's the process there, and why did you decide to name it that?
Well, I started to become troubled by a lot of trends in the business, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago, and they've really all only gotten worse. It, you know, I mentioned before the development of the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah.
One of the first things that happened was is that news companies started looking around and saying, my God, what can we do to fill all this time? Mm-hmm. And the first things that they tried to do were they would look for stories that had like an ongoing visual or breaking angle, like, you know, right. a baby falling down a well or a submarine disaster or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But then they soon figured out that the easiest way to fill all that time was just to have a panel and to have a point of reference, like a subject where you do a little tiny bit of reporting about a news story of the day and then have a whole bunch of people arguing about it all day long.
Yeah.
And this became kind of like a formalized part of the news landscape. We essentially trained audiences to view politics as something, as a form of stylized combat, just like sports.
Yeah.
With shows like Crossfire, you would tune in and you would watch to see if your side won that day. And the key underlying theme of this is that there could never be a resolution. There's never a show where right. they shake hands at the end and say, you know what, you're right, you know, let's all get along. It can't work that way. Like, for financial, it doesn't work that way. So we are financially bound to wind you up as much as possible, and essentially the promise of most news programming is tomorrow's going to be worse than today. Tune in to find out what that is. And it's a horrible thing, but we manipulate people and we get them, you know, geeked up on anger. And the easiest way to do it is just to show them some other group of people that they dislike.
Right.
And that's very troubling.
It's kind of symptomatic of the economics of the industry, isn't it? Because having a bunch of people in a room shouting at each other is a hell of a lot less expensive than hiring an actual reporter. Reporting is expensive. I mean, to get
it
information,
is.
To track down facts is a costly enterprise. And it's value-wise, if you're just looking to sell ads, then having people shouting, it's more dramatic. It's less expensive. I mean, from a raw economic perspective, and that is what they look at. There's just no comparison.
Reporting is costly in like three different directions. Number one, there's just the fact that you have to employ the reporter to do a lot of reporting over a long period of time. So, just to take an example, like if you remember the Chiquita Banana expose that the Cincinnati Inquirer did, so you're losing two of your best reporters for 4 months at a time to one story, all right? So they're going to be gone. You're going to be paying them all that money to do that story.
Yeah.
Then there's the opportunity cost because while they're doing that story, they're also not doing daily hits and 500-word articles about ribbon cuttings or whatever it is. So you're losing that stuff. And then the third thing is, by the time you're done doing your expose, you've probably cost yourself an advertiser. Like if you're hitting a big company that produces something, any kind of consumer product, that you're never going to see that money again. So the networks pretty quickly figured out that the last thing they want to do is in-depth investigative reporting, particularly about big companies. So why not just have people on set shouting about something that has to do with national politics? You won't cost yourself anything. And as you say, it's visually more dramatic. And it's more addictive also mentally. Like, people don't like to hear bad news. Like, they don't like to digest the hard truth, but they do like to kind of tune in to see people yell at each other. There's an element of that that's weird. That's an odd dynamic.
Right. Now, like, back in the 50s and 60s, not to just using that as an operating baseline, not to say that it was necessarily more in depth, I suppose you can say at the very least he was less shouty, and that may have been a function of the commercial model at that time. And as you indicate, it was trying to make a broad appeal, and so that may be some of the rationale behind it. But as Patty Chayefsky back in the 1970s wrote in Network, you could start to see that transformation where there was certainly a period when it was viewed as a prestige product to a certain extent, and it was not designed to, be the driving force of ad placement or
revenue,
or revenue generation. Exactly. So now that we have that firmly in place, is there any way within a system of that kind of economic structure in which it's possible to produce good journalism, or do we really have to look outside of that in terms of more of the model of something like an NPR, which has its limits because it's sponsored by the government, or what viable models economically especially are there for journalism that transcend this really segmented, stratified us versus them model?
Yeah, it's difficult. Obviously, what you're talking about is absolutely true. In the old days, and I hate to be one of these people who says that, because certainly news reporting was not a panacea.
Right.
Back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, think about the things that they didn't cover back then.
Yeah.
For sure, one of the things that was understood was that the news could be a loss leader. Like there was no financial pressure on people who were in the reporting business to make money. In fact, you hear all the time from old timers in the business these stories about how the salespeople were not even allowed on the same floor as the editorial people. Like they weren't allowed to have any interactions. Now, the people who are doing the ad sales are likely to be in the higher meetings with the news directors, and the reporters who are likely not allowed to have access. I think one of the problems is that the business has an inaccurate idea of what sells and what doesn't. And I think about my own career. I was repeatedly told throughout my life that audiences can't handle complicated. Like you can't do stories about how the financial services industry works or why the 2008 crash happened. They'll get bored. Actually, the opposite is true. Like audiences are very sophisticated. They like being led through complicated stories.
Matt Taibbi, a real pleasure speaking with you. He's a reporter and editor for Rolling Stone. He's the author of 4 New York Times bestsellers. Read them. They're funny. They're insightful. The Great Derangement, Griftopia, The Divide, Insane Clown President. Also, I Can't Breathe and the Business Secrets of Drug Dealing. His most recent book is Hate Incorporated. You can find it at Taibbi, that's taibbi.substack.com. Matt, thank you so much for being on the program. Keep up the wonderful writing. I look forward to many more years of laughing out loud as I read your
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That's all the time we have today on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by yours truly, Beowulf Rocklin. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at nowitsthenews. And until next week, keep smiling through, just like you always do.
Happy trails.
Mike Hewitt here. Why do we have laws? Seriously, we have immigration laws and laws against ignoring those laws. Lots of folks are okay with those laws being broken by millions. We have laws that prosecutors won't prosecute on, and more than a few judges that actually see themselves above the law. Some folks have special protections from the law, while others are persecuted by it. Laws for when you didn't break the law, but defending your innocence breaks other laws. Some 97% of all criminal cases are plea bargained, settled in the hallway. I'm told there are so many laws, it'd shut the system down if they actually followed the law. If that's true, why are we paying so dearly for legislators to create more laws? The words equal justice under law are engraved on the face of the Supreme Court. We must demand those words be true, honored, and real for all. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump sent out a tweet accusing his former attorney, Michael Cohen, of committing perjury in front of a House committee this week because of some previous remarks that Cohen had made in book manuscripts. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio sits on the House Oversight Committee. He's asking the Justice Department to look into other instances of perjury.
We think there are at least six occasions where, in yesterday's testimony, where Mr. Cohen said things that were not accurate. The biggest one, of course, is the fact that he denied that he ever wanted to work at the White House. He's on tape saying if offered a job at the White House, he'd take it 100%.
A state of emergency is in effect for parts of Northern California that were hit by deadly flooding. A man drowned in Ferndale, California, after being swept away by fast-moving floodwaters. Heavy rain in Sonoma County has sent the Russian River to its highest stage in 25 years and turned two towns into virtual islands. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Go to Pennzoil.com/oil change offer to save. Terms apply.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
A cavalcade of conservative voices are speaking at a huge annual event just outside of Washington, D.C. With more from Washington, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Among the Friday morning speakers at the Conservative Political Action Conference being held at National Harbor, Maryland, Vice President Mike Pence.
The moment America becomes a socialist country is the moment that America ceases to be America. And as the president said 24 days ago, so we must say with one voice, America will never be a socialist country.
President Trump will be delivering a Saturday address to CPAC. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Federal Trade Commission is slapping video sharing app TikTok with a record $5.7 billion fine for violating child privacy. And you can always find us on Facebook at USA Radio. This is USA Radio News.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why can't more things in life be customizable? Why can't I buy Neapolitan ice cream without strawberry? Can't I just have the chocolate and vanilla flavors I'm comfortable with? Do people even want a fruity ice cream flavor sandwiched right between the classics?
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
An attorney for Jared Kushner says he obtained security clearance through the normal process with no pressure from anyone. The spokesman says the new reports do not change what was affirmed at the time. According to the New York Times, President Trump directly ordered his son-in-law be given top security clearance over the objections of intelligence officials. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says even if President Trump did order the security clearance, it's not a crime, but...
This is part of the problem, I think, with having family in official positions, because it's hard to be objective. Hard to be objective with the people you're having Thanksgiving dinner with.
Songwriters and music publishers are suing bars around the country, saying they infringed on their musical copyrights. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
The American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers represents more than 690,000 songwriters, composers, and music publishers, and it licenses establishments to play the 11.5 million songs in its repertoire. ASCAP is now suing over a dozen establishments in Chicago, New Orleans, Baltimore, San Francisco, and several other cities and states. A spokesman says they spent up to 5 years reaching out trying to get the businesses to comply, and now they're suing the businesses that refused to obtain licenses. The owner of one of those businesses in Baltimore says they license music through a Pandora business account, but such accounts don't cover live and DJ performances.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim.